Hey, Toasties. Welcome back to Pyro Toasty Talks.
Hello.
You do that intentionally to throw me off.
I do. Okay. I'm glad you picked up on that.
Well, you are here with myself, Brian, and Zona from BZ Fervor. And today is episode is going to be on our favorite pieces. And since we have yet to have the wonderful Basha from Woodburn Corner, we thought what better episode to have her on than one in which we're talking about our favorite pieces, seeing as Basha has quite a plethora of pieces that she's completed, and I'm sure it's no easy task choosing the favorite one. Basha, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I would. Hello, hello. My name is Basha. I currently am running Woodburn Corner. Woodburn Corner was founded by Rachel Strauss. She started burning in 2010 and started posting and sharing the love of pyrography to the world. I joined her in 2020, and we joined forces, bringing people pyrography knowledge, inspiration, challenges through blog posts, videos, tutorials, all that good stuff. She has carved her own path in life about 2 years ago. I was very grateful and happy to take over because we worked really hard on everything that we've built. And here we are. I wanted to kind of go deeper a little bit. I created a community called Burn Club. It lives on Discord. I felt like it was a place where we can actually talk together and share all the things that we do and all the things that we learn together and burn together. And I'm very happy with it all, and I'm happy to be here. So thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
Very happy to have you on.
What is the Burn Club? Because I have spoken about the Burn Club before. I've told people about it.
We've talked a lot about it.
Yeah, just for people listening, I think it's probably...
This is the Basha that we talk about quite a bit so far.
Yeah, your name's come up on the podcast.
So sweet.
All good things, I promise.
Yay, I hope so.
We've talked about Burn Club and Burn Club Plus and Woodburn Corner. For people who are not familiar, can you just give a little bit of an understanding of what each of those are and how they kind of work together?
Absolutely. So Woodburn Corner is, I guess, the hub of it. This is where it all started. There is a bunch of blog posts. There's templates. There's books all for purchase. There's templates, some free ones, some for purchase. I keep on adding more. It's a place where there's loads and loads of blogs with tons of pyrography information, where to start, how to finish your work, like everything from A to Z, so you can learn if you're just a beginner. And I felt like I was teaching and preaching and talking about it, but there's also a newsletter. Woodburn Corner has a newsletter. And even in the newsletter, I felt like it was very one-sided. And I had changed myself as an artist through the community. The community really lifted me up. And I wanted to create a little bit more depth and communication and community vibes. So Burn Club came alive, and I chose Discord. Discord was a good representation of how my brain works. There are lots of different channels, and in each channel, I guess it's kind of like a folder with topics. In the free Burn Club, there are challenges. We have a main conversation space that we can communicate and talk live. And there are gallery channels where we show our work, a work in progress channel where we can show the progress of our work. There's a template section, a history channel. There is a art soup channel for things that go beyond pyrography, a furography channel for all the pet lovers, because we can't stop talking about our lovely furry friends.
For pet lovers, I don't know if I know any of those.
No, none here.
We for those people who listened to the previous episode, we actually had Chuck Teal on, and we wouldn't know Chuck if it wasn't for Burn Club, because I believe that's where you met Chuck, and you've become collaborators and have shared work with each other and have become real good friends. So,
Yes, we poke fun at each other quite often.
and the w that's also where we found Lucas, who created the theme music for the show. So.
A true collaboration space. It is, that's exactly what it was meant to be. Not me talking at everyone, but everyone talking together. I'm in awe of how everyone's coming together, sharing all their tips. Zona, you've been phenomenal at being present and sharing all your knowledge and your passion, and it's been wonderful. I'm so happy.
Like it's one of the things that I love the most about being in Burn Club is the community of it. The ability to share all these things, because I'm a try it, I'll throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. The glitter spaghetti, the pastel spaghetti, the resin spaghetti, and let's try if I mix these two together spaghetti and see what happens. And oh my God, that and that and that and that and then the other will stick. And oh my God, I found something else. And then I go down rabbit holes. But it's fun to be able to talk to other people and share all those things and those really weird tips that I come across in my rabbit holes of Reddit and tips and tricks, and be able to share those things that I've learned, and be able to share that, and like, hey, I learned this, and hey, I found this, and to share all that, someplace to, like, I learned all these things. I want to share it with people. I can share it with you guys,
And it goes deeper because it's not just we share. Like on Instagram, you share a post and then it kind of just fades away. Whereas the conversations happening here, there's some long term and there's already lots of inside jokes and all the things, but then you can find anything. You can go search anywhere. You can join in any time and be part of that and get support live. And we saved somebody from an oil spray disaster, helped her through that situation.
That is one of the great things. It's like one thing that I hear so much about, like especially at the markets, is I wish that there was a community. I wish I had a community. I wish there was somebody I could talk to. I wish I knew that you were here. I wish you were closer and you were did classes or whatnot, so that I could talk to you and ask you questions all the time. And I mean, like, if you have Discord, you could just go here and there are people out there, even if they're not right next to you, but there are people to ask. I can connect you with people. If I, like I said the other day, there was a young lady who said, she was like, the typical, I got something and I'm trying it and I love it, but I don't do anything nearly as good as you, whatever, and I'm just not as great. And I asked her, I was like, well, what did you do? And she was like, well, I burned a door. And I was like, okay, but it was a door. I said, but it could
It's
have been the
true.
wood. And she like it was like this epiphany to her, and she was just like, "You're so right." It's like exactly. Maybe it wasn't you. She was like, "I'm just not any good." I'm like, "But maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was the wood. Maybe it was the machine. It doesn't mean that you're not good." And she was like, "Oh wow." And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "You could here take my card. If you have questions, you can email me. Yeah, I have a blog. I have a newsletter. Whatever. I have people. I know people. It's just like, and I can either answer your questions or I know people who can answer your question. It's about the community."
Yeah, I think artists tend to feel isolated, especially artists who work in studios by themselves, home studios. I mean, we had similar conversations with Mara on episode 2, and with when we were talking about community and what the purpose of community is. So I think that it serves a really important purpose. But speaking of important purposes, one of the important purposes of having a podcast is having people who sponsor us. And so we've actually are proud to announce that we are having our first sponsored giveaway on Pyro Toasty Talks. Aspen Rustic Creations has been.
Quite generous enough.
Yes.
Either been quite generous to sponsor a giveaway of a mystery box.
I believe they referred to it as
Yes.
a mixture of wood.
Yes.
And all you need to do is you need to count how many times we say the word rustic in this episode.
That one count?
Everyone counts.
Every time we say the word rustic.
Did you watch Pee Wee Herman when you were a kid?
I did.
Do you remember like they would say the word and everybody would be like, ha, they'd all scream.
Ooh, we are not doing that.
No?
We're
Okay.
not gonna do that. We're
Okay.
not doing
Okay.
that. We're
I'm
not
sorry.
doing that. Sorry, we're not doing
That's,
that. But
so if we will put a form up on pyrotoastytalks.com where you'll be able to enter the giveaway, and if you correctly identify how many times we've said the word, then you will be entered to win the contest. So we're really excited about that. We've one of the big intentions of this season was to get sponsorship and to build a bigger community and reach more people, and we feel like this is a step towards reaching a larger audience. With that, what I would like to do, I'd like to pivot into the conversation that we were planning for today, which is your favorite piece. So, have both of you had time to pick out which your favorite piece is?
I think that was a hard one. That was a hard. That was hard. I was just like, oh God. I was like, Brian, what's my favorite piece? And he's like, well, is it that piece? And I'm like, I don't know if that's my favorite piece. I have pieces I love. I don't know if that's my favorite though. But I think Nocturnal Beauty is probably my favorite piece because it's the one piece I don't want to let go of. I just don't want to let go of her.
For those people who don't know what Nocturnal Beauty is, do you want to? We'll post links to the pictures of those pieces, but.
Nocturnal Beauty is the first realistic woodburning I did of an animal, actually. And I did it on a offcut of magnolia wood that I picked up from a local wood supplier here in North Carolina that I go to,
Lumber.
Carolina Urban Lumber. I used to go to them quite often. I haven't gone to them in a while because I've got a really nice stash of wood, and if I go there, I'm just bound to bring home more wood, and I think Brian may He may not let me in the door.
She's already threatened to start purchasing leather because now she wants to start burning on leather. I said, "What are we going to do with all the wood that we have
I said
in?"
that I'm still gonna burn on. We have a
Doesn't
great.
expire. I think it's totally fine to
Oh,
hoard a little
it
bit.
is not about the expiration date. It is about the expiration date on the amount of space that we have in the house.
Yeah, nocturnal beauty is I don't know, it's just special to me because I think it was my first attempt at a more realistic burn. Because most of the burns that I've done so far were more SVG types, more, I guess, coloring book type, more line drawing type art. And that was my first attempt at a more realistic burn of an animal. And I just love the way that she came out. And on that piece of magnolia wood. And the thing was, Carolina Urban Lumber had, like I said, I used to go in there all the time and get wood from them, big slabs of wood, and then I would cut it down. It was sitting there, and I remember I walked in and I saw that piece of wood, and I was just like, oh my God, what are you guys doing with that wood? And they were just like, well, we've been actually holding that for you because you're the only one who's gonna do anything with that wood because no one else is gonna use it. Because they do like river tables and whatnot, and they're starting to expand into other things now, but they were saying that they were holding that piece of wood specifically for me, which was really cool because they were just like, they remembered me. That's how often I used to go in there. That's one of the reasons why. And it's just a really cool offcut of wood, so.
You know
It's
which
beautiful. Yeah.
piece of yours is my favorite?
One piece.
You did this one, it's like a kraken attacking a ship. It's on one of those tombstone pieces.
Oh, I know which one
Do
you're
you know
talking
what I'm
about.
talking about?
I know
Yeah,
which
I
one you're
love that
talking about.
piece. It's all done with the divots.
Stippling.
The stippling, yeah. It's so it's kind of it's the picture is more like negative space and that it's all dark around it. I think that one came out so cool. I love that piece.
It's line work and stippling.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I know which one you're talking about.
How about you, Basha, which is your favorite of your pieces?
I too have many, many that were not just like blood, sweat, and tears, but also sentimental. but I think if I have to choose one, it would be the most recent one that I did. And I don't have a fancy name. I'm so bad at naming. It's called Art Deco Vibes, which is like all my other Art Deco vibe art is called.
You
So it's.
just group them all together and call them a series.
There you go. And there you go. See? So this piece is my ultimate favorite because it really was a hone in on a style that I really, really, really loved in terms of the era, historical era that it was, like it peaked in. And just, I don't know, it really speaks to me. And this was a commission piece that I had no restrictions on. The only restriction was that it had to be a rectangular piece, a very rectangular piece. I don't remember the exact size, but it was intentionally made for behind a stove for like a backsplash kind of. But they're the clients like I can't use this there because it's too beautiful and delicate and it's wood. It's just not meant to get wet and oily and stuff. And the intention was to like flip it over and then do it cooking and then flip it back. But she's like, I can't even do that. It's hanging on the wall. So I feel like that was my first time somebody gave me creative freedom within like a little bit of a boundary. And my normal canvases are square or circle. And I love radial symmetry, and that fits into squares and circles are perfect. But this one was this way, and it just kind of pushed me to create something. And actually, I had so many. I had probably like four or five different iterations of. I do a lot of like folk art kind of vibes, very soft and leafy, and I've been doing that for years and years and years. And slowly, I started merging some sharp angles and huge contrast, which I didn't do. And yeah, this piece was the first one where I kind of just went for it and created that heavy contrast with the sharp angles and in that kind of layout, which was very different and really, really fun. So,
Very cool. I know which piece you're talking about. It's very, very cool.
thank
So,
you. Basha, I am not as familiar with your entire body of work, but I did go through some of your pieces, and I sent you one on Discord that I particularly like. It's I'm gonna try to describe it because it's very fluid. It looks very it's a pattern. It's not a picture, which it sounds like that's really where you kind of gravitate towards, but it almost looks like maybe hair or something with like that's very alive. And I think like that kind of style is so super cool because you don't see a lot of that. It's very unique, it's very different, and I like unique and I like different.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That opens a whole door to like so many different conversations, because firstly, that's on Aspen Rustic Creations wood.
I swear that was not planned.
You
That was not planned.
chose a good
I did
one.
not realize that,
You
but
chose a
it was. We'll
good
post that in the Discord, the piece that I'm
one.
referring to.
It's their wood is so nice. I'm telling you, like they sand it so perfectly. It feels soft and it's smooth, but it's not like too smooth glossy. It's literally just the right amount of grit, and it's beautiful.
One of the reasons why I asked ARC to be a sponsor is because I legitimately use their wood. I will buy literally in bulk every
Bulk,
year. Yeah, I'll buy boxes of their wood f ornaments every single year, and they are a number one seller for me. I like especially like the past 2 years, the bigger ones, my bigger ornaments, personalized ornaments,
Oh, those Baby's First ones
absolutely.
flew off the shelves.
Babies First, like any Babies First, Mr. and Mrs., all of those personalized ornaments, without a doubt. Well, it
So
pretty much sells itself.
I just
And I use ARC, I use Aspen Rustic Creations ornaments.
I just want to take it back to that piece that I was talking about that Basha worked on just real quick. So there's an artist by the name of H.R. Geiger, I think it's pronounced H.R.
Geiger.
Geiger. He has this like very ethereal, like he does I don't know
He's
if you've
an
ever seen like
aliens.
the artwork from the movie Alien, the original Alien movie, like the xenomorphs. But he did like all of the artwork for that, and everything that he creates, it's got like this aesthetic that it has life to it, and that it's breathing, and that it has this kind of energy to it, and that's kind of the vibe that I get from the work of yours that I like, is that it has some life to it, and I know that you love your radial symmetry and stuff like that, but I think sometimes when there's a little bit of chaos to it. It kind of gives it gives this sense of life to the piece. So very, very cool.
You've now inspired me to make that into a radial symmetry pattern.
I would love to see
Oh,
that.
that would look
Right?
so cool. What?
Okay, I'm not sleeping tonight.
And the thing is, that piece, you did that as a. Because one of the great things about Burn Club is that Basha does. She does
Burn flows.
the burn flows,
Yeah.
and she does it with nibs. And she'll do a texture piece based on a nib, and that piece was the sample that she used using a nib to show off a nib. And every time I see that, it looks like, to me, it looks like hair, but it could also be waves. It's one of those pieces that could be either or, but every time I see it, I'm like, I gotta try that. But I have to do this first. It's like, I
So,
need to.
for those of you who don't know, Zona is currently working on a piece to submit for a juried show. And the piece is on a slab of it's David and Renee's wood. It is 48 inches.
44.
44 inches.
44 by 44.
Yeah, we actually had to go out and buy a we had to go out and buy a
Had to
what
order a heavy duty, extra heavy duty easel. Because it was just like, where am I gonna burn this?
I posted a picture of Zona working on it today on Instagram, and I swear she looks like a little kid sitting at a big table, like with a coloring book.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I was like, when he showed me the picture, I was like, I look like a kindergartner at a table with a coloring book. And he's like, well, that's pretty much what you look like right now. And I'm like, accurate.
But the cool thing is that it's on wheels, so we can roll it around the living
Yes.
room.
Everything has to be on wheels because I'm not trying to push and pull a daggone thing. He makes fun of me because I put everything on wheels.
Well, you put things on wheels, and then those things never move an inch.
That's not true. I could put you on wheels
But they
if I
can move.
They can move, yes.
Yes,
Well,
exactly.
what happens is though that she builds around them. So, like, I often say that Zona is like water in the sense that she fills the container that she's put in. So, yeah, the garage is full.
Well, I already told you, you the minimalist marry the maximalist. I don't know what you were
That's why I have
thinking.
an office.
I don't know what you were thinking.
That's why I have my office.
That's
I
okay
can
because
be
I
nice and
did.
minimalist in there.
Until I put a cat bed in there that's 2 inches bigger than the one. I replaced the cat bed that was in
I
there.
had a conniption.
He got so mad at me. He got so mad. Because I put a cat bed in there because so that cat had a bed in the windowsill. And then I replaced it with one that was 2 inches bigger. And I thought Brian was gonna kill me.
I lost some headspace where my beanbag chair
He did
is.
not. He did not. He did not. Anyway.
Back to your favorite pieces. So, Zoni, you talked a little bit about where you got the wood from your piece. You got it from Carolina Urban Lumber. The piece that you just did recently,
Vibes.
Art Deco
Vibes. Everything's just vibes at the end.
Vibes. Art Deco Vibes. Where did you source the wood from?
This was actually from a friend. They are just as obsessed about wood as I am, and they hoard it just as much as I do. And they cut it down for me and sanded it for me, nice and buttery smooth. And yeah, so it is cherry. It is a beautiful cherry wood, probably one of my favorites to burn on. But I don't know where they got it from, and they don't either. because they just collect, 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 and when it's time, it's just there.
Do you find, and this is a question for either of you, do you find that it makes a difference if you know where the wood is coming from and if the wood has a story behind it? We talked a little bit about this with Chuck on the last episode.
I think it does. Well, first for safety, like.
Yes, definitely for safety, from a safety perspective, yes.
I'm talking more along the lines of if you get a piece of. Okay, so there was a time that we went to a. I think it was Carolina Urban Lumber. We went there and they sold us some. Was it willow? Willow oak? And it was from a tree that had fell in a family's backyard. And there was a story behind it. They had planted the tree as a remembrance of their son, and their son had passed away. And they ended up having to take the tree down. And they used the wood to make a memorial for them. But then they gave the remainder of the wood to Carolina Urban Lumber to sell, and we ended up buying some of that wood, and now that wood had a history and a story of its own, right? So using wood like that, or even just wood that's locally sourced that you know where it came from, you know that we know that this is North Carolina wood, we know that it was ethically sourced, the things like that. Does that make a difference versus buying big box wood?
If I'm gonna do a custom order, I like using wood for a custom order if it's their wood. Like if I've had cu people say, "Well, I have this wood at home and I would like to do something with it." I like doing that, or they ask, they say, "Well, I want something, but I don't know what I want." "Oh, but wait, I have this wood at home." And I'll push for to use their wood because it has a story. Because it means something to them. I'm big on, I am a sentimental person, and I think custom pieces are supposed to be sentimental, and they should be personal to some degree for that person, like whoever the recipient is, or for whatever purpose. I believe that there should be something personal to it. I believe that there should be some kind of heart behind it, whether it's a story or whatever. So, using their wood that has a story. Like the wood doesn't mean anything to me personally, but to put something on it for them, like that is special. Like we have that one piece of wood that, I want to get to, that we want to make something for, and then we want to gift it back to them.
It's almost like the wood has a bit of a soul.
Yes.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Matthew, one of the leaders, Matthew's Eagle Scout, one of the
So
leaders.
not everybody knows who
Oh,
Matthew is. So
yes.
oldest son, Matthew, he's 18. He got his Eagle Scout right before his 18th birthday, and the scout leader, he was not the
Yes.
scout leader at the time, whom Matthew had selected as his mentor, had helped him out tremendously in the project that he did. Every Eagle Scout needs to complete a project in order to get their advancement, and Matthew had chose to do something for the Humane Society, and this gentleman helped out Matthew without any questions. I don't think Matthew would have accomplished it without Bruce's help. He
Absolutely not.
stayed on top of him, he
Yeah.
pushed him, and at the in the end,
He was the perfect mentor for him.
And he had when we were over talking about some of the materials. Zona and I were there. We were in his garage, and she saw a piece of wood in the garage, and he had said that it was from his father's workshop. And Zona asked if she can have it with the intention
No,
that
he
she's.
offered it.
He did. That's right. He
He
did.
just offered it. He just offered it to me. He
Knowing that
just,
she does stuff with
yeah.
wood.
Because they all know that I'm an artist and work with wood. And
She's the wood girl.
yeah. And he was just like, oh, I was cleaning out. Was it his father or his grandfather?
I'm pretty sure it was his father.
He's one of their farmhouses or whatever. He's like, yeah, I was cleaning out and
Because I think he
had all
said it
this
was James's
wood.
grandfather.
And oh, that might be what it was. And he was just like, so I had this wood. Do you want it? And I was just like, and it was a nice piece of wood. And I was just like, I didn't know if I was gonna necessarily do anything with it, but Brian had a suggestion to put something, to put their family name on it and then gift it back to him as a thank you for the help. So, I mean, it's sitting in the garage and was waiting for the warmer weather so I can open up the garage and do what I need to do with it. So that's sitting there waiting. But it's like stuff like that, because like it means something. It'll mean something to them when it goes back to them.
Full circle moment.
Yes. And
Yeah.
like, and it's stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff like where the wood with a story, because he'll have something. He'll
Yeah,
have a
it's so much more
story.
meaningful than just a piece of wood that, came from a big box store. Not that there's anything wrong with wood that comes from a big box store. They're great for making, certain pieces.
Oh, for sure.
And they're absolutely great for learning. And I mean, you can find some beautiful rustic pieces that have nice live edge on them, and I have nothing against them, but I do think that there's something just inherently special about a piece of wood that has a story of its own.
Yes.
What are some of the techniques that went into your favorite pieces?
Well, I sure didn't answer the question. Do you like, but I don't think you answered the question. Do you like wood with a story?
I mean, of course, absolutely 100%. If I could, I would always choose to either find wood or source wood that does have a story. I feel like that just makes the burn deeper. Pun intended. I have to say, I've only, like, I have burned on people's wood. As you said, I've burned on ores and that were like passed down and from family to from down to generations. But generally people just kind of have an idea, and I don't have any super special wood. I do have a bunch of birch logs sitting in my shed waiting to be dried. They are from the ice storm we had last year, and it was a really intense ice storm. Like 30% of our forests got destroyed, which is okay because we live in a pretty thick forest and it's actually a lot of sun right now. So we lost 30% of the forest during the ice storm, and it was really, really scary because the trees were falling left, right, and center. One of them fell on the house above where we were sleeping. We're okay, and the house was okay because the roots were still in the ground, and the tree had fallen because everything was just pure frozen. It was scary, but we made it. We survived. It was like a squirrel on a field day. I, after everything settled, I'm like, oh, I can burn on that. I'm just here dragging massive logs. I can't even, I was so dirty and I was just like, I can't give that away. I can't give that away. And I had to give a lot away. We had to chop it up and throw it into, like, burn it, or we're ready to burn it. But there's a few birch pieces because I don't have sources for a lot of birch, so there's a lot of secret spots around the house where, or not the house, the garage and the shed and like little places that I'm like, okay, in 3 years you'll be mine.
Nice. Do you have a kiln?
No.
You
And
let it
like
air
these,
dry?
yeah, because these are massive. I'm telling you, like I had a wheelbarrow and I could take only one piece at a time. And it was, if you saw me, you'd just be shaking your head. Like, why?
don't
Just why?
think Zona, I don't think
No,
Zona would be
no.
shaking her head.
I don't know
No,
if
Zona
I'd
would
be
be with
shaking
me.
you. I'd be
Yeah.
shaking you.
Yeah. These are
Finding
beautiful,
places for you to squirrel it
like
away.
large birch, because these are humongous trees that are just done. And yeah,
Are you
it
gonna
was.
make cook? Are you gonna make cookies out of them?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I think part of the storm, what happens when the tree fr it the tree f is frozen. And so what a lot of the trunks were kind of cracked through the middle, and that's how they break and then they fall. So I might have to cut them into planks, which is totally fine because I like, you know, I can go and get cookies, but planks are more rare, and especially if they're super long. So we'll see. I will see. I don't know. I have to not look at it for another 2 years because they have to be dry, fully dry before I do anything.
So, can we talk a little bit about technique? So, you both mentioned the pieces that were your favorite pieces. Can you elaborate a little bit on the techniques that went into those? Whether or not they're the reasons why they make them your favorite piece, but it'd be interesting to know what specific skills were necessary, and if that played any part in why they're your favorite piece.
Nocturnal Beauty was more of a that was more of a technique builder or skill builder because I'm used to, you know, burn hot, burn deep, and Nocturnal Beauty is all light. And burn layers and burn lightly. Turn down the heat. Do it lightly, you know, and it's wispy and curves and you know, instead of using a knife tip, I'm using a spoon shader to like do, you know, like the nice curves and the nice and the shades, you know. It was a challenge for me because I wanted to turn the heat up, you know, and it's partially like, okay, I want to get it done faster. There's partially that, because somewhere in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, if I just turn up the heat, it'll be darker faster, you know, but
Doesn't work that way.
it doesn't work that way, first of all, and especially with when you're trying to. When the look you're trying to get is softer, burning darker is, you don't want to start dark. You want to start light and build up to darker. So it was a challenge for me because it was going against what I'd been doing so far. It was going against all the techniques that I'd been doing so far and against what I was used to. So it was more of a challenge, a technique builder for me.
I have a question. Have you done any more similar, any other animal portraits or anything other similar where you have to turn down and go slower?
I haven't done, I mean, outside of the pet portraits that I've done,
The dragon, even though it's not a realistic creature, I think
Oh
the
yeah.
dragon falls into that same category.
Majesty?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Majesty definitely falls into that category. That's why it also took me 60 hours 'cause I intentionally went low and slow with Majesty and just kept building up. I intentionally wanted to just build up the layers for Majesty.
How about you, Basha?
I use my classic chisel nib. I also went all out with stippling and used three different ball nibs. So I think for technique, it was something that I was comfortable with. I already have practiced using those nibs a lot, and that the way of carving into the wood as I burn. So that was kind of in the norm, but was what was very special and going beyond my comfort zone is creating a symmetrical pattern that is on a rectangular surface. That was a fun challenge, that
This is
part.
one of my favorite opportunities, and that's when I get to be the stupid person who doesn't know anything about pyrography. So you said that you use a
Such a liar.
chisel nib and you carve out the wood. Does that mean that you carve it out like you would if you were whittling as opposed to just burning?
No, I didn't say carve out, just carving at the same time. It's very sharp. So instead of burning the wood topically, I'm actually going really deep into the wood at the same time as it's burning. So it's maybe slicing is better way of envisioning it. I call it carving because it's just goes deep, but I'm not carving anything out. It's still burning, but it's going deep and it's like cutting into the wood.
Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I that's really but the fact that you referred to it as a chisel tip and the fact that you used the term carving, it sounded almost like whittling, and I
Yeah.
never heard it described that way before. So I wasn't sure if that was like a different kind of technique, but that's still really cool.
I have a chisel nib. I actually got the chisel nib at one point because of you. Because I kind of
Yay!
wanted to try it.
That's awesome.
I got it like a long time ago because I was just like, I have to try this nib to see. And I tried it and I was like, no, not my nib. But that was also like 3 years ago. And I've looked at it and I said, I should try you again. Because it's been a couple of years and I've learned a few more tricks. I just haven't.
Is it in the nib crib?
It is in the nib crib. It
I
is in my nib crib.
Oh.
She has a box that she takes with her when she goes to markets. And I mean, she takes it
I mean,
with her
it's just my
everywhere
nib
she
crib,
goes.
yeah.
And it's got just, when you open it up, it's got a foam liner on the inside of it. And she has all of her wire tip nibs lined up in there. And we named it her nib crib. It's
Because
where
it's
she
where my
keeps the.
nibs live.
It's where her
Well, that's
nibs
where they
live.
just take little naps, right?
Yeah, that's where they sleep. That's where
Yeah,
they
they do.
sleep.
They take they go.
Exactly.
She tucks them in at night when they're all
Exactly.
done. They've done their job. They're gone. She
Exactly.
reads them a story.
So that's yeah. So it is actually in the nib crib. No, but I really should try. Then the thing is, Basha also uses her nib differently than most people do.
I'm intrigued.
Actually had we had an open studio today, so part of Burn Club is that we meet once a week and we just hang out or do stuff. Like we touched on AI and how to use Claude today for kind of personalizing it for your business or for personal things, lifestyle, grocery shopping, all the stuff. And one of our Burn Club members is making a piece and she didn't know what to use the letters on. And I was like, use the chisel nib because they're really skinny, tall letters. And so you can use it as a stamper because it looks like a chisel where it's just a rectangular piece of metal and it's flat. It's really skinny, but it's just a square. And you can technically use it as a stamper and then connect the little lines with using the corner of it. And she's just like, how do you use it? And I made a little demo, and that sparked a conversation to have a whole session on it, because then people were asking like, but wait, that's the, because I turn it with my fingers as it's in the wood being carved. And it's not really something you can explain. You have to kind of watch it in action. So we're gonna have a
Sounds like
one
a good.
session.
This will, by the time this airs, that will probably be in the past. Are the open studios available for rewatching?
Yes, so all the open studios, especially the burn-alongs, we call anything that is very pyrography focused when we have a whole session dedicated to burning something. We call those burn-alongs. We've had Brandy come on from Brandy of like Brandy Rolls. We've had Manisa Robinson come on. We've had Jen Avery. We learned how to burn on gourds. So all of those specially featured artist featured ones are recorded and they're available in Burn Club Plus. So you can watch them anytime.
Do you know, I completely spaced on Open Studio today. I could
I know.
sworn today
It was a
was
good one because I did a chisel tip demo. You
Zona hasn't slept in like 48 hours. She spent the last 24 hours
Transferring.
transferring onto that massive piece of wood.
Looks so good though.
Okay.
I really thought today was Tuesday. Don't I'm
Oh
so yeah, I really thought today was Tuesday. And I saw him pulling out like the podcast stuff and I'm like, we're recording on Wednesday. I'm like, wait, what day is today? Oh, snap, today is Wednesday. Then
yeah.
I was like looking because I didn't look at all of my socials because I was like, if I look at my socials, I'm done. I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna rabbit hole and I'm not gonna do anything else. So I was like, no, I'm not gonna look at my socials. I'm just gonna.
She's gonna sleep well tonight.
Yeah. Well, now that the transfer is done.
I was actually gonna start burning.
I would say probably a good idea to get some shut eye before you start putting any heat to that piece of wood.
Hello.
I think our audience would agree. Don't do our audience wrong. Get some rest.
We'll see once we finish recording, you know how I feel. I play it by ear.
What were your inspirations for those favorite pieces? Let's start with you this time, Basha.
Okay. As I said, I'm very heavily inspired by Art Deco. I love the font, how it's tall and skinny with like really geometric shapes. And I love the sharp, elegant boldness of the era. I feel like that's the only way I can explain it. It's delicate, but it's bold. And I love that contradiction. And my inspiration specifically was Art Deco style jewelry. So I'm obsessed with like the earrings, the shapes of the earrings and the jewelry they wore. And so I pieced a lot of jewelries and I, as Zona calls it, Frankensteined it using a lot of different jewelry and just the hard organic diamonds and shapes and lines. So
Inspired more by like Art Deco art. I know you said jewelry, but are you inspired more by like the art or by like the architecture?
more so by the architecture and the fonts are stunning. I guess that's kind of leaning towards art, but it's their use of just their long lines and just like then the bold diamond or like the bold circle with the emerald, you know, like they're so statementy and bold, but they're still so delicate and elegant.
Do you have anybody you would cite as like an influence? Would you say like Frank Lloyd Wright or something like that? Is there anybody you would say is?
I don't have anyone in that era. No, and I do love my favorite artist is Alphonse Mucha. And he is part of the Art Nouveau movement, which is very curvy and like those bold outlines, kind of like Brandy does her like bold outlines with everything inside delicate and detailed. He always adds like this kind of pattern, the radial symmetry pattern in the back of his artwork, and I love his style. And I don't love to do realistic people and realistic portraits and realism. I prefer the line work and stuff. So maybe, I don't know. I am going to go on a hunt for an artist during that era now. And
I love the architecture of Frank Lloyd Wright, which I don't know if that's considered Art Deco or not, but it's definitely that very non-traditional, very shape-oriented, kind of goes a bit against the grain to create very unique experiences, very unique architecture. So I can definitely feel where you're coming from. How about you, Zona? What were your inspirations for your favorite piece?
challenge. I was challenging myself. The desire not to stay in one place. I don't like standing still. I don't wanna. I'm always searching for how to improve what I do. What is my next step, right? How do I improve on what I do? What can I do differently? What can I do better? I wanted to, what was the next step up from what I was doing? And it was do more art, do more art things versus product. And I felt like what I was doing was more product, I wanted to step out of kitschy.
Bless this mess.
Right. And there's not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I still do those because I get an itching to do like little cutesy things because I want to do a palette cleanser. Like I'll just get an itch to do those, so I'll do a bunch of like little things to because I just want to do something really quick because I've just done a huge piece that took me forever and I want to burn something. I just don't want to burn something that's going to take me 3,000 hours. So I'll do a palette cleanser. But I knew I wanted to do something that was going to challenge me. I wanted to do something more artistic. I wanted to put a picture on wood that when you looked at it, you don't see a wood burning, you think it's an actual picture. That's the goal.
So you said that you what inspired you to do that piece was taking the next step. That was about 2 years ago that you did that piece. What would you say your next step is now? If you were to say, now I want to be inspired to do a piece that is going to take me even further. What would that be?
I think actual portraits, getting better at portraits, more realistic portraits. I'm okay at portraits. I'm not happy with them personally. I'm not happy with them. People ask for them, people want them. And
Brandy's really good at
yeah, Brandy
portraits.
is like, okay, I want to vomit. We watched her do portraits and I was just like
Man, I had no idea. I saw, like, I passed by when she was doing her, was it an open studio or
yes,
something?
it was an open studio, and I was
Yeah,
just like, well, you know what?
she's killer with that.
I know, I was just like, that's it. I'm hanging up my pen. 'Cause
Well,
no.
it's like that person that you spoke to who was working on the door, right? It's all a matter of, you can't compare yourself to other people. You mentioned Manissa. I was scrolling through Instagram the other day because apparently everything that I get recommended on Instagram now is pyrography.
Gee, I wonder why.
I keep liking your posts, so clearly I've taught the algorithm what to show me. But Manissa did a piece, and it was a looks like an oil candle or something
The
like
oil
that.
lamp.
An oil lamp. My God, that woman is from another planet. Like, she
Listen,
is amazing.
You should sit in on a live that she
I did.
does.
I
No,
watched her do the
like,
Sasquatch.
no, sit in on a full live when she just
Yes,
it's vomit
I
inducing.
watched the
It's
Sasquatch.
vomit inducing. When she does one from start to finish, like a whole, it's vomit inducing.
Yeah, she did. She does the. Well, I remember way back when, and I think we've talked about this on a podcast before. It was the when the summit, the Woodburn Corner Summit. She was one of the guests on there, and she did the steam train, and it had like all the puffs of smoke coming up off of it. So good.
Insane.
I mean, the
I can't even draw a real. I can't even draw a realistic looking cloud.
everybody
Clouds are really hard.
I know they're.
when people talk about Minnesota, everybody talks about the train. And it's really interesting, but the one that caught my eye, the one that I stared at the longest, was the one with the boots.
She did that soldier too, didn't she do a
She did the
soldier?
soldier, but
Yeah.
the one with the boots and the helmet is the one that I stared at the longest, I think. But I think also, I mean, not just for the art itself, but I think also because I have military in my family, and I guess I was thinking about my dad who was military. I was thinking about all family members who were military. I was thinking about my friends who are military. Some who came back, some who didn't, and it was something. I was in a moment, I guess, but just her art in general, like goals.
For
And the
sure.
fact that she does it with a solid nip.
Didn't you say that she was switching to a
She
was sw switching to a
actually did.
wire tip?
Yes, she actually has a razor tip, and she did a piece where it was half razor tip, half solid, and it was actually kind of interesting to see her same piece, and she did half and half, and it was very interesting to see her do a comparison of the two. But she has moved into a coal wood. She's using a coal wood now, which is interesting. She's still using her solid, but she's using the coal wood more.
Bring her over to the light side.
I've looked at the coal wood. I've thought about getting the pens. I mean, I have a coal wood. I just don't like the wire, which is why I don't use my coal wood very often.
So I think we
But
covered this, but just for closure, what is it about that piece that made it special? I know you said that it was your first time doing a realistic piece, Sona, and it was pushing the limits of your capabilities. It was expanding to a technique that you hadn't used before. Is there anything more you would say about that piece that makes it special? I know that this one in particular is one that you will not sell. You will hold on to this one, will pry it out of your cold dead hands.
Yes, exactly.
So, is there anything that you would say about this piece specifically that makes it special? Beyond that. And I know that's a lot already.
The truth is, I mean, I, as an artist, we both know this, right? Like, I know he keeps, because I keep forgetting to talk to the mic.
I want to put like a little face on the microphone so that she feels like she's actually talking to it. When we used to record with David and Renee last season, the setup was that the microphone was on the table, but the laptop was to the right, and she would be talking to the laptop because they'd be on video, She'd be talking to the laptop and talking to them instead of talking into the mic. So I wanted to put like a little cartoon face or something on it so that she would feel like she was having a conversation with the
Yes.
microphone.
As I was saying, as an artist in we are our own worst critic, and we can always look at our pieces and find something not to like. And we will find something to complain about and want to change and something to not be happy about. I can honestly say I just love that piece. I think it's just beautiful, and I honestly just love that piece. And I mean, sure, if I stared at it long enough, I could probably find something to change in it. But I just look at it and I don't look at it and go, ooh, I want to change that. Ooh, I want to change that. I just look at it and I just want to stare at it. I look at it like I look at other people's art. That's the feeling that I get when I see it, and that's why I don't want to let go of it.
How about you, Basha? Beyond, so I know you said a big part of what you loved about that piece was that you had creative freedom within constraints. What is there anything else about that piece in particular that made it special to you?
Yes, so that piece is the first ever of my Art Deco vibe. I've been, as I mentioned, I kept leaning to kind of the folky art, the flowery. I did a lot of like mushrooms, but it was always with the soft leafy edges. And I did three or four times. I even transferred once, and then I was like, something is not good. I don't, something's not right. And I erased it, I sanded it all down, and I went back to the drawing board, and it just kind of hit me. And I was like, this is my moment. I'm getting paid to do this. And so there was this just freedom into creating, and it was my first time. I was like, I this is my moment to go into the Art Deco hard and big to see if like this will work. And I drew it out, and I loved it from the beginning. And I transferred it, and as I was burning, I loved every stage. And as Zona, you said, it's something that you love looking at. Unfortunately, I don't have it to look at it, but it when I do see pictures or when I think of it, it makes me want to like go more and do more and do and bigger. I want to do a tabletop next with but round. I'm gonna like thank you rectangle moment, but back to round and square. So I want to do a huge like a table
I
with
want to
that
do a
pattern.
tabletop.
Your piece you're working on now was pretty much the size of a table.
Yeah, that's actually it's funny that you say that because David and I, when I was talking about this piece, when GCA gave us the
That
dimensions,
is the Guild of Charlotte Artists. That is
yes, the Guild of Charlotte Artists,
group that is responsible for the juried show that she's going to be entering this piece in.
yes, when they gave me the dimensions, I was just like, well, where am I going to get this panel this big? And I was talking to David and Renee, and
David swooped in like Batman.
we talked about it, and it was just a matter of like, well, I could order it, but how am I going to get it? And it just so happened that like it worked out because
Oh, can I tell
Brian.
the story? Can I tell the story? So I was up in Pennsylvania visiting my parents. They live about 2 hours north of David and Renee. So I was up visiting with my sons. Zona stayed back, but it was just me and the boys were up visiting my folks. And on the way back, I stopped the pickup truck to get this piece of wood. And David was, I don't know if he still is, but he was on a bread baking kick. And he made us, was it a loaf of sourdough bread?
Yes.
He made us a loaf of sourdough bread and gave that to us. He basically said, I would much rather make you a loaf of bread than have to pay for the shipping for this thing.
Yeah, it was a matter of like how am I gonna get this if I ordered a piece because it's 44 inches, it's almost it's 4 feet, you know, it's just about 4 feet. It's like, well, how am I gonna get it? And it just so happened that they were going up there. They were like, well, if he's gonna be up there, not far, you can always just bring it. So we worked it out, and that's how it got down here. But it's like,
Meant to be.
and so David was just like, I basically made a tabletop.
Yeah,
And I'm like,
Okay. Okay, so I think Zona, you're gonna have to be Basha's accountability buddy, and you're gonna have to hold her accountable to doing a tabletop.
I'm telling you, if Basha and I lived closer,
You don't have to live close by to be her accountability buddy.
that's not my point. That's not what I'm trying to get at.
We burn together already online, but if we could burn together in person, we would never, you would never see us,
Yeah,
really.
basically. It'll be like, oh, she's probably at Bosch's.
Any closing statements from either of you ladies on the pieces that you love?
I think you just gotta burn whatever. If 2025 taught me anything mentally, is that you've got to burn whatever it is that's going to fill your cup. You have to figure out what's going to fill your cup. But sometimes you will have to burn the non-favorites, but burn your favorites. Burn whatever it is that might be your next favorite. Right?
Boom.
And that doesn't just go for burning, that goes for anything, whatever it is. If you're
Fill your
an
cup.
acrylic artist, if you're a poet, if you're a writer, if you are a, it doesn't matter. Whatever, if you build stuff out of Legos, you know, it's, you have to do what it is that you're passionate about. If you make pixel art.
Yes.
Ooh.
I mean, we talked about this in Burn Club, you know, at the beginning of the year when we were making our hashtags. Like, what's your word for the year?
Yes,
I haven't forgotten about that. It's percolating. I still have ideas. I'm waiting for the idea to solidify. I have my ideas on how I want to make that work, but I definitely want to make that work.
what about you, Basha?
I completely agree. I feel like the more authenticity you have, the more authentically you show up in your work, the easier it will be, the more you'll keep coming back to it, the more it'll be a place of mental freedom. If you're doing something for, you know, with a passion, you're exercising your mental health, you're you know, speaking to yourself, and I think that's really important. And as Zona said, you might have to do the stuff that you're forced to do or your work you're paid to do, and that's fine as long as you intersprinkle it with things that drive you and free your mind through art.
Yeah, I like that. I like the word that you used, authentic, because I do think that a lot of people who go into business on their own, a lot of people who try to make a livelihood out of the things that they love, find that they lose their authenticity. And I think that's what makes it miserable, right? That's what. If you're not being authentic to who you are and you're doing it just for the sake of making it profitable, and I know that, you know, sometimes you have to, But if you aren't able to at least find some ways to let your authenticity shine through, and if you aren't able to turn those things away, those projects away that are that don't represent who you are and what you believe, then that's when you end that's when it ends up going turning from doing what you love and getting paid for it to doing what you used to love and getting paid for it. I get that. Basha, do you have anything that you want to plug while you're on the podcast here?
I think I, my accountability community. I've talked already about Burn Club and Woodburn Corner, and that's
Where
kind
can
of
we
it.
find
It's
Woodburn Corner?
woodburncorner.com. Super easy.
All right, and you can find us at bzfurfur.com. You can also find us on Instagram at bz underscore furfur. You can find the podcast at pyrotoastytalks.com. You can also find the podcast on Instagram at pyrotoastytalks. We do have a Discord channel on Burn Club. The link to the Discord is on the Pyro Toasty Talks website. If you want to join in the conversation, offer suggestions for topics that you'd like to hear covered, or recommendations for guests that you'd like to see. We also have t-shirts available. There's a link to purchase t-shirts on the website. All the proceeds from that go back towards the podcast, keeping it alive and helping the community grow. Our theme music is by Lucas Luan, another member of Burn Club. And you can find our friends David and Renee over at It's David and Renee on Instagram, as well as itsdavidandrenee.com. And we will see you next time.
We want to also thank Aspen Rustic Creations for
Sponsoring our contest. Remember to count how many times we say the word rustic.
rustic.
Yes, thank you to Aspen Rustic Creations for sponsoring our contest. And remember to submit your
Your guesses for
to the
how many
website
times we
on
said the word rustic.
submit those on pyrotoastytalks.com, and we will see you next time. Stay toasty.
Stay toasty.